C2SP. Number 4B.
Let's just flow over those substances again. First of all, it is absolutely unmistakable that the text now talks about transformation and especially backward transformation. This belief of backward transformation has never been touched in the first main tone of mind or of spirit. And so to say, every blind man can see that the text interpretation is exact and that it is conclusive, that suddenly with soul she brings in the question, is there a backward transformation instead of that constant going forward and going forward and higher as soul would show us. But that backward transformation must be explained, and that's why there are subtones in it. And so, first of all, at the point of mind, she would say this whole question of backward transformation, that matter can be, that spirit can be brought back to matter and transforms itself back to matter, is just a human belief. Just does it away and says, that belongs into the realm of spiritualism. It's human belief. At the point of subtone of spirit, she shows, this is a human belief because matter can never be the medium of spirit. So spirit cannot go back to matter because matter does not lend itself as a medium. And you have the mediumship that it, matter is not communicable for spirit. Then, finally, at soul, she defines that backward transformation and says, look here, just as an oak can never go back to an acorn, something that has sprouted cannot go back to the seed anymore, just as that is true in nature, so it is true really in the spiritual realm, in the nature of spirit, that there is no backward transformation. Principle says, and this backward transformation is impossible in science. It is bringing out it's impossible in science. It is possible in spiritualism, because in the realm of belief, this is possible. And we know that. We know relapse. We know that we can go backward in our life instead of forward. But in science, it is impossible. At the point of life, she shows that there is never a retrograde step. So she gives to it the tone of life as never. There is never a retrograde step in science, in Christian science. In belief, there is. Then at the point of truth, it just says that this spiritualistic belief in retrogression must be considered as a mistaken assumption and that it is not the truth of being. Why is it not the truth? And she explains it in the last tone of love. She says, because spirit has nothing to go back to. That's so simple. Therefore, we would handle in everyday life, the belief in backward transformation, in the belief not to go forward, not to be willing to accept a new idea, therefore being stagnant, and stagnant means to go backward, we would handle that through spirit, and to see that in the order of spirit, spirit always wants to unfold, always wants to bring something higher, that it introduces always newness, always progress, always evolution, always going forward, unfolding, developing. It introduces the order of the days of creation and says, here, this is the fundamental law of progression. So start out with ideas, see that these ideas always unfold, that when they unfold, they take on new identity or clear identity, that they are in principle always governed by a divine principle, and therefore bringing out what? Newness of life with new forms of truth, and that is what is the plan of love, the plan of fulfillment. So one would fill one's consciousness, so to say, with an ordered line of spirit in order to handle that belief in retrogression, in the relapse, and so on. Yes. Then we come to a next subject. For a reason which I cannot answer, there is no subject on principle in this first part. And every time I say that to the students, I am quite sure that at least a dozen will come up afterwards and tell me why there is no subject on principle. And those 12 will give me a different answer, why there is not. That's why I don't listen to it. I don't like to go to spirits that peep and that matter, but why should I not go to the God who is spirit and let me inform by the one God, and if he doesn't tell me, I don't listen very closely. So we just have to accept it. There may be a reason, there may not be a reason for it, I don't know. But the next subject is life, and again, for a reason that I do not know, that subject of life has no subtones in it as the others had, as mind had, and spirit had, and soul had, and truth and love have. Out of a reason I do not know, I can't know everything, I'm on the way, and I just know or deal with what I know at the present moment. And at the present moment it's absolutely clear that she is talking now about life, the great subject of life. It's unmistakable, and so we come to this new sense of life. What is the claim of spiritualism here? Our epitome in life says the understanding that life is incorporeal, that it can neither live nor die in a body, awakens from the belief of death. So life, the understanding of life as incorporeal, awakens us from the belief of death, whereas spiritualism believes that the dead can come back to the living and communicate with the living. And here again we see something that we have to use in practice and can use in practice very well. Namely, and I read the first paragraph, Jesus said of Lazarus, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." So she starts out and says, look here, it's a dream, he sleepeth. Just as he had at the point of mind, the main tone of mind, she said, well, spiritualism is like a dream, you sleep and in your sleep you dream and you see things. But I go, so the divine I, go that I may awake him out of sleep. So Jesus identified himself with the I of life, capital L. He wasn't the personal I, the personal Jesus that went to Lazarus, and he could see that death, what is called death, is but a dream, is a sleep. Jesus then restored Lazarus. How? That's interesting. By the understanding that Lazarus had never died, not by an admission that his body had died and then lived again. Had Jesus believed that Lazarus had lived or died in his body, the master would have stood on the same plane of belief as those who buried the body, and he could not have resuscitated it. Gives a good rule for treatment and for dealing with that sense of death. Namely, what is impressing here is that if Jesus had believed, first of all, that Lazarus, before his death, was living in body, or that Lazarus was dying in a body, which we usually accept first. But when somebody had died, we said, well, he lived in a body, and then he died in a body. Now what shall we do with him? How can we resuscitate him? Well, we can't, as long as we believe that he had been living with us and among us in a body, and that he had died among us and with us in a body. Usually this is a point that we do not take into consideration in such a case. So Mrs. Eddy says, well, if you start out with a wrong cause, and with a belief in a wrong cause, namely with the belief that that person has been living among us, and has been living in the body, and I could see him with my physical senses, then we have started out wrongly, and then we can't help him. We never can help him. If he believes that he lived and then died in the body, and that we buried the body, or we burnt up the body, then we can't help him either. He's out of our reach. We are living then in a belief world, in a dream world, in the sleep world, and that can never help the one that has gone on. We should see that if we believe that he has never lived and died in the body here, then we can communicate with him. Then the good that we derive from God can also flow to him. That's what we should do. That's what we should do. So often, unfortunately, we have to sit at the bedside of somebody that passes on. And what shall we do? Shall we accept that he has died? We were not able to heal him or to prevent that point. And there is always a point where somebody has to go on, where it is right to go on. What shall we do? To accept that he lived in the body and died in the body, and that now he's on the other side? That's a bad thing to do, sitting on the bedside of somebody like that, because we can't help him. We can only help him as Jesus did. We may not resuscitate him so that he gets up from his body, from his bed, and stands up and jumps around. That we may not do, but we may be a help to him by seeing that he has never lived in this world, that he was never part of the material world, that he has never lived nor died in this material world, that his origin is before Abraham was, that his origin was life, that he always lived in the body, and that he never died into the body, that there was no birth. And so we keep him straight, that person, that patient, straight above the mortal level of things, in the realm of life itself. All else is believing in spiritualism, and that's no help for the one that goes on. We help the one that goes on by seeing the glory of having been always an idea of life, of always having been living in life, still living in life, that life has never changed, that there is no retrogressive stage, that therefore that life is always life and is living in the one life, capital L. Or else, Mrs. Eddy says, we stand on the same plane of belief as those who have passed on. So life comes to us and says, look here, we can break the mesmerism of spiritualism at the point of life by seeing that we have never died into this body, that we never lived in this body, and that we never died out of this body. That life was always spiritual, never material, was always infinite, never limited to a body, to a time sense. He lived in the 20th century, spiritualism. If we say he lived in the 20th century, it's spiritualism, because we say life is in time, that life is in a certain place. Life is infinite, and life is without boundaries, and so we handle the belief of spiritualism by seeing that nobody has ever died into the body. That before Abraham was, I am. That we are as eternal as life is, and that we are never anything but life, and that life has always been spiritual and never material. He goes on and says, when you can waken yourself or others out of the belief that all must die, you can then exercise Jesus' spiritual power to reproduce the presence of those who have thought they died, but not otherwise. Again, she says, not otherwise. This is the only way. So here she said, well, we have to awaken ourselves first and awaken then the others first out of the belief that all must die. This is spiritualism. Spiritualism is that we die into a spirit, that our life dies out and becomes a limited mortal spirit. That's spiritualism. And that all must go through that process. That's spiritualism. There is no process of being born and living and dying. This is not a process in science. This is not a process in life. And so we also have to awake ourselves out of that belief that all must die. And if we have that belief, we cannot be of any help. Then she makes a most interesting further statement about life. There is one possible moment when those living on the earth and those called dead can commune together, and that is the moment previous to the transition, the moment when the link between their opposite beliefs is being sundered. Again, you can see that she says, yes, the claim of spiritualism has an exemption. It can be possible that we can commune with those that have gone before. There is one possible moment when that is possible. So, again, right at the beginning we said that Mrs. Eddy said spiritualism is mainly erroneous. And we were asking ourselves, why mainly? Why not completely? Why mainly? That means that there are exceptions. Well, we found one exception, and that is that spiritual good derived from God can be transmitted to those that are left behind. Here we have another exemption, namely that there is a possible moment, namely that moment before the transition, where there is a communication between those that have gone before and those that come afterwards, can communicate with each other. It is when those opposite beliefs are being sundered. Now, in the vestibule through which we pass from one dream to another dream, can you see? One dream to another dream. He says, our life here is a dream. It's a dream life. It's a belief, a hypothesis we have seen. It's not spirit. It's a dream, and we pass not to life, but to another dream. So dream and dream understand each other. That's why there is a possible moment where those departed and those left behind can communicate, because they are on the same level of dream, of belief. They are not on different levels of spiritual existence. When those that have gone before still are in the dream of the human beliefs, then at that moment they can commune with each other. But only then, because she says, or there is another possibility, or, you see, there are two possibilities at the point of passing on. Or, when we awake from the earth's sleep to the grand verities of life, then there is another. So, can you see that going on, passing on, what is called death, can be two very different experiences? Very different experience. We either go on in the same belief, and so one dream goes to the next dream. But she doesn't say that's always so. It's not always so, as the tree falleth, so it lieth. She says there is another possibility. Namely, or when we awake from earth's sleep to the grand verities of life. So we have a chance. And that naturally we could see, when do we have that chance that it is waking us up out of a dream into the grand verities of life, she has said. Well, spiritualism will be found erroneous, and we will see the true sense of life when we have gone through that thing that she called the gain of spiritual life. Remember, in spirit as mind. So when our earthly life is the ordered unfoldment of gaining spiritual life, small l, and is cultured within that order of spirit, then this is the possibility of being woken up into the grand verities of life, and not into another dream, and not to another dream. And so the departing at that point may hear the glad welcomes of those who have gone before. But she says it's only one possible moment. It's not something in eternity. Spiritualism comes then and says, then when you go on, you will find again your husband or wife and your children and your parents and your relatives. Can you see the hell they tell you? Who would like that? We have had enough of the people universe while we are here, so why prolong it? The ones departing may whisper this vision, name the face that smiles on them and the hand which beckons them as one at Niagara, with eyes open only to that wonder, forgets all else and breathes aloud his rapture. So if we are ready for a step forward, instead of going from one dream to the next, but to the verities of life, then we will just stand there with a great wonderment of what we see spiritually at that moment. And that's what we hear so often of people in the last moments, when before they go, they begin to see something beautiful. Few see people. The more spiritually minded, they don't see people beckoning them. They see much more the wonders of the verities of life. And they talk about the beautiful music they hear, about the harmony they feel, without describing how it is. They don't see and say, well, there is mother waiting for me, or there is father waiting for me, very comparatively few see that. They just are those who hang back to the family, hang back to the false sense of marriage, being bound together with people and being in union with people. But those who go through the chapter on marriage right through, and not only the first five steps, the first five subjects, but to the sixth, where they begin to learn the higher nature of man, when they go to the seventh subject, where they begin to see the coexistence with God, the oneness of God and man, they naturally don't see again mortals and long to see the mortals, get along again with mortals and see what a nice garden they have there, or what a nice factory they can build there, etc., what they all want in their mortal life. They see something very different. They talk about the harmony that is indescribable to the grand verities of life, and really standing aghast with eyes open only for that wonder. So here we have another aspect of spiritualism, how to break once and for all that sense that we go on in the same way, which means really the belief to be again in a corporeal body, again to be a person, all that belief that has to do with reincarnation, that is being broken. If we use our time here, as Mrs. Eddy called it, the preparatory stage, and we use it for the gain of spiritual life through the first three chapters, then the fourth chapter should be able to break that eternal recurring and recurring of being born, living, dying, reborn, living, dying, reborn, living and dying, and it gets boring after a while, and one likes to break that circle of belief of reincarnation, and wants to get out of that roundabout that constantly goes quicker and quicker, and just jump off that roundabout and say, I go in a completely different direction. I want to go into the spiritual realm of being. That's the fifth subject.